B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG, it's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Controversy.
Yeah, it's so good. Hour number two, Agenda Free Friday, presented by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, Bernardi Auto Group. .com. It's our buddy Gare Bear. Gary Tangway, NBC Sports, Boston.
Controversy.
Had himself a hell of a day yesterday. I don't know. He went to a beauty parlor and was sitting next to someone in the next chair or something. He was getting a mani-pedi, and whoever was sitting next to him in the mani-pedi store was someone important because he got fed all sorts of good stuff
yesterday. It's a monster.
It was a monster, Gare Bear.
Just a couple of gals dishing.
Somebody spent some time on the phone or with his hair in a bun or something.
No, it had to be like... Now, why would he choose yesterday to start calling?
Yeah.
No. He went to the car wash, and it's one of those where you had to get out of the car and stand and wait for it, and he happened to be standing next to someone with all this information about everything. So, like, the grand poobah of Boston sports, who is that?
Touchdown.
Stu, or someone. He was standing next to someone at the car wash because this person downloaded all sorts of good stuff to Tangway.
Generally, genius does walk alone.
It does, Gare Bear. I've stolen that from you.
If you think the Celtics have anybody on this roster that Minnesota wants, they don't.
Okay, that's also a relevant point. Do we want to start Gare Bear on the Patriots or Gare Bear on the Red Sox?
Oh, either one's fine with me. Gare Bear, go whatever way you want.
Gare Bear on the Sorry, Gary. Gare Bear on the Pats, please.
Okay, at the top, we have breaking news here, people. Now, Tom Curran correctly reported, our own Tom Curran correctly reported that Tom Brady, are you guys just laughing at my breaking news? I think, Trenny, they were laughing at my breaking news.
He's an intrepid reporter, the two of you, listen. It's Scoops McGee over here.
I'm laughing with you, Gary.
Sure you are. Yeah, that's baloney. Tom Curran correctly reported that Tom Brady has not moved to Connecticut. Okay, so we put the kibosh to that. I was told today by a source, though, the family is preparing to leave the area. The priority this time is to let the kids finish school this year. Then they're gone. Furthermore, Brady said to another source of mine that he is tired of being embarrassed by the number of quarterbacks that are paid more money than him. Okay, now let's move on to the other issue in regard to Bill Belichick. A source told me today that after he was forced to trade Jimmy Garoppolo to San Francisco, he inquired about coaching jobs with the New York Giants and the Washington Redskins. Belichick wanted to make it clear that he needed to be in complete charge of the Patriots, or what was the point of him being here? He would leave. Ownership has said that Brady's future is up to him, up to Tom. But in reality, it's up to Bill Belichick.
Boom. Boom. Boom.
Rockets.
Controversy.
Okay. I believe everyone. I mean, we're having fun with it. I think he's dead on all of them.
I agree.
So the Brady's preparing to move, I think, is absolutely true. I've heard that they, you know, have told, like, some of the youth programs that their kids are involved with, that they're out and stuff like that.
Why has this just come up now?
Where have you been?
I don't know.
How did this come up today now?
Because Gary sort of reminded me that I had heard it.
Reminded you. Why are you holding out on us?
Yeah, no, I think it's true. I think they've told, you know, we're probably not going to be here in the
fall.
What
do you know? Just go back. What do you know?
I just told you what I know. That their kids play on, like, youth teams, and, you know, people involved in youth sports can't keep their mouths shut. Word spreads, and that the Bradys have told the teams that their kids play on that, you know, we're probably not going to be here next year.
What the hell did I get myself into?
Good job, Gare Bear.
That doesn't mean that Brady's not going to be here. I mean, again, I draw a distinction there, but are G and the kids moving somewhere else? I think that's right.
Okay, family preparing to leave the area when the school year is over.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Gare Bear. I think you got some good info there. The Brady has told people he's tired of being embarrassed about what he makes. I believe this 1,000% that he's telling people this. My only point is...
will he follow through on it?
Right. He always caves at the end. Of course he's upset at the time. Like, this has happened for 20 years. Why are you cutting Lawyer Malloy? I'm all mad. Why are you not signing Deion Branch? I'm mad. This should be... And then at the end of the day, Tom, will you sign it? Yeah. Give it to me. I'll sign. Then he caves. So, yes, like, of course he's like, oh, I'm tired of being embarrassed. I'm not going to take it this time. Oh, you're offering me 1 year, $8 million plus incentives? Sure, I'll sign it. And that's the way it always goes. So, I have no doubt that he's talking a big game and maybe a bigger game than he has in the past.
No, no, I know everything.
Okay, so I think Gary got that one right too. How about Belichick inquired with the Washington Redskins and New York Giants after the Patriots traded Jimmy Garoppolo, sending a message to the Patriots that he has to be in charge of the roster?
So I half believe this one. The Redskins, he's going to go work for Daniel Snyder.
Yeah, Daniel Snyder would give him the world.
No, but isn't that a perfect, if you want leverage, if you want, you know, just the offer, the threat.
So I see what you're saying. He wouldn't actually go there. He would just use it.
Isn't that an easy mark?
Sure.
Robert, I'm being offered $15 million a year here from Daniel to go take over the entire operation.
Sure.
Are you going to let me run this one or not? Because if not, I don't want to work for that guy, but it's $15 million in complete control over everything. So what?
And really more about the control than the money, right? Because I'm sure he's being paid extremely well.
Yeah, I just made up a number.
I get you.
Like, I mean, you use him as leverage.
Yeah, I mean, again, if I were the Kraft, so I would take the Giants one more seriously than I would take the Redskins.
Will you just shut the hell up for a minute?
Because I would look at Bill and go ahead, go work for him. Go work for Snyder. See how that works for you.
Yeah.
If you think I'm an a-hole, wait till you work for that guy. But the Giants one, like, you know, did Bill let it be known that, you know, he would think about it? Sure, I believe that.
And
Why, thank you.
You're welcome. And I think that this is a subtext to this year. This is a subtext to this year. Is Robert going to step in again? And how's that going to sit with Bill? And we've sort of surmised this, that in the intervening, whatever, 4 years, how long has it been since they traded Garoppolo? Whenever, 3 years, two plus years, that has Bill extended? Has Bill signed an extension with New England? Or have they had, you know, my guess is yes.
I agree.
Thank you, Gary. And then what comes with that is a conversation that says, Robert, if I'm going to stay here, I control the roster, meaning the entire roster. And Robert gives him his word. You'll get to pick the next quarterback and you'll get to make that call this time. And that's part of the whole arrangement, whether it's in writing or not. It's the promise.
Controversy.
Of that. And so this is the context. Is Robert going to step in again on Tom Brady? Brady thinks he is. You know, if we believe the reporting from these guys that it's Brady's, you know, understanding that, or Brady just thinks, you know, everyone has these preconceived notions. The Patriots think Brady's going to cave at the end because he always does. Brady probably thinks Kraft's going to come in and save the day because he always does. And who's going to blink? I think Gasper even said this, you know, like that's, I think that's all accurate. That feels genuine to me.
I mean, I think, you know, what Gary's hearing, I don't think is wrong.
Okay. I want to know where he gets,
where
he gets his mani-pedis because he sat next to someone good yesterday. Okay. What did this person, Gare Bear, give you on the, sorry. What'd they give you on the Red Sox, Gare Bear?
According to a source, I like saying it too. I talked to you today. Sox owner John Henry.
You talked to a lot of people today.
I was very busy on the phone.
He skipped his
Holy
nap.
Cow.
John Henry had every intention to keep Alex Cora as the Red Sox manager, despite Cora's impending suspension from Major League Baseball. When the possibility arose that the Red Sox could be stripped of their 2018 World Series title, the owner threw him out of the boat. The owner gave up his manager. Sacrificial lamb. What is both the Red Sox and the Astros are nervous they could lose their championships. A lot of anxiety at Fenway Park, I was told.
Boom.
Okay. Your thoughts on this, that they were going to keep him? I'm sorry if he said it in that clip or not. I'm sorry. But this threat of vacating the championship in 2018 if they don't fire Cora. Does that sound right to you?
Controversy.
I don't know if that specific point sounds right or not. But the fact that, I told you this the other day, the fact that they fired Cora before the report came out on them, I found odd. So do I think there was some sort of deal cut between the Red Sox and baseball involving the Astros, maybe even the Mets? Like, do I think this was all some sort of orchestration at the highest level? Yep, I do.
Me too.
They suck.
I definitely think, Gerber, that there was a deal cut between baseball and the Astros and baseball and the Red Sox, and the Manfred went quickly from trying to uncover wrongdoing to containment. And they're in the containment zone right now.
And that's why those frauds were sitting there a few days ago saying, please reserve judgment.
Exactly, because
they know what's coming.
They have an idea.
It's going to be sanitized.
They think it's going to be sanitized. And maybe that was the deal. You take care of Cora. We'll take care of you on the report. The Astros were up to everything. It's sort of becoming apparent now. Wearable device, you know, we're not going to look at the wearable devices. We're not going to go any farther than the trash can banging, the banging scheme, as they like to say. You give up the coach and the GM, and the report's the report. We'll exonerate the owner in the report. We won't go any farther. You make sure that those two guys lose their job. Red Sox, you do the same. I don't know what deal would be cut with the Mets, but it does feel that there's deal making going on.
I agree.
So, I mean, I believe that because I just think there are too many powerful people involved in baseball for all of them to be operating independently. I mean, you're talking about the best franchises in the game who are the biggest franchises in some of the biggest markets. You know, the Red Sox and Astros are both World Series winners. The Mets are in New York. Granted, they're not the Yankees, but the Yankees haven't been totally exempt from this thing either. You hear whispers about them. Beltran was with them. We played the Cora cut on Beltran from the other day. The game's in London. So, like, there's no way the commissioner would, you know, attack marquee franchises in the game without working with the owners on it.
It's a monster.
I mean, I hate to be that much of a conspiracy theorist. But I just think there's no way the commissioner can operate that way and keep his job.
Oh, I think the commissioner in all these sports works with the teams. I mean, we all agree on Deflategate. There was some orchestration there to keep it. I mean, it never touched Kraft, but to keep it away from Bill and on Brady. And I think that was in the best interest of everyone, except for Brady.
Controversy.
Except for him. But that served the best interest of everybody. And don't tell me the first time around in Spygate, there wasn't some orchestration there. And so I think that because the commissioner is not out for the best interest of the game. He's out to protect the interests of the owners. Mm-hmm. That's what all these commissioners are. Some worse than others, but that's their primary job. And so it's to protect the game. And Manfred has to do something on this cheating scandal, but if it goes any farther, if it implicates too many teams or brings out too many details about what's going on, that damages the game. And so he's in containment zone. This has become a containment thing, not a investigation.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. A lot to unpack there. Brady family preparing to leave the area. Maz's sources at the Manny Petty shop indicate the kid's not playing youth sports next year in Boston. Maz holding out on us. Thanks.
No problem.
They'll be out of here when the school year ends. Brady tired of being embarrassed on his contract. Okay. Belichick, when the Crafts stepped in on the quarterback thing and Jimmy Garoppolo was traded, Belichick inquired about openings with the Washington Redskins and the New York Giants. And the Red Sox were going to keep Cora, but MLB threatened the 2018 championship. And so they threw the manager out of the boat, as Gerber said.
Controversy.
Asterisk or Alex? Alex goes.
And that's it. So a lot to unpack.
Go big or go home.
Exactly, Gerber. Your thoughts on all of it after this.
I can't hear the booth in Burlington. Somebody's got to fix the audio. I can't hear Jim Aberdale. I couldn't hear Danny, and I couldn't hear Jim. The program is burying the guys in the booth. Something's got to get fixed. I can't hear Burlington.
Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
According to a source, Alexander, too, I talked to you today. Talked to John Henry.
You talked to a lot of people today.
He skipped his nap.
Holy cow.
John Henry had every intention to keep Alex Cora as the Red Sox manager, despite Cora's impending suspension from Major League Baseball. When the possibility arose that the Red Sox could be stripped of their 2018 World Series title, the owner threw him out of the boat. The owner gave up his manager. Sacrificial lamb. What is both the Red Sox and the Stros are nervous they could lose their championships. A lot of anxiety at Fenway Park, I was told.
Go big or go home.
Matt, should MLB be threatening to vacate?
I'm all for threatening anything to get teams to, like, start being more responsible. If it means something to the teams, would I threaten it? Yeah. Yeah. I just think there's no accountability. So whatever hurts them, attack. I'm done with the lack of accountability in baseball and this stuff. It's a joke. The game sucks. There's too much crap that goes on the field. The quality of the product blows. You know, again, now you get guys cheating rampantly. I have no faith. So if an owner, if the world title means something to the owner, like being able to say it and they can market it, yeah, sure. I don't believe in the concept. Like, it's not going to change my mind about who won.
Right.
Like, but if it hurts the owner, sure.
Yeah. I mean, if it hurts
they
them
suck.
To take the banners down and they have to live, I guess, with that shame, for lack of a better term, then yeah. Especially that the Astros in 17, like, there should be a big asterisk on that, or the banner should have to come down. But like Maz said, in the reality of it, like, do you think that UMass thing didn't count in 96?
No. See, this is what I mean. Like, I'm walking a line here, because I'll tell you, at the end of the day, you can't vacate titles. Like, what, are we going to rewrite history?
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
But you're okay with Manfred rattling cages and, you know,
yes,
threatening things and, you know, threatening to push the button, all of it.
Yes. Yes. If it means something to the team and you can leverage them with it, then by all means, do it.
Okay, back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday. You set the agenda with your wonderful phone calls. Johnny in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, guys, great show, first of all. And I just had a quick question for Maz. You know, I know his passion is baseball, and I was just wondering, he keeps talking about, you know, how he is kind of done with it, done with baseball, and he's been a baseball guy since he was a little kid. So I just want to hear if he's really done. And I'll hang up and listen to what Maz has to say about that.
So I'll give you this, Johnny, thank you for the call. I'll give you the same answer that I would give you with regard to Tom Brady. We'll find out at the moment of truth. Okay, I'm not delusional. I mean, again, you know, come spring, I have a show to do. So, of course, I'm going to watch the Red Sox. But if you, in the same breath, if you want me to tell you that I have faith in the people who run and operate Major League Baseball, and I'm not just talking about singularly the commissioner. I'm talking about all of them, because I think they work in tandem. I don't. They're killing their own game, and if they're going to stay on this path, I just assume they kill it now. Because I think the product blows.
Huh. And that's the great irony. That's a great irony, that the product continues to get worse, interest continues to get worse, and the revenues still remain high, and there's this level of obstinance there that they can do whatever they want because we need the game.
Correct.
Like that's the irony, that, you know, a league like the NHL has to make improvements because they're on the borderline of being viable, and so they have to pursue business, and they have to pursue the fan, and they have to cater to the fan. They have to. Baseball acts like they have, like the fan is beneath them. They don't need the fans. When the fact is, the game is losing popularity by the year. And that's like the irony. Like, they don't seem to get it.
No, they're way behind. Way behind. Again, they're still operating on the same rules that they were 100 years ago. And like, I thought of this too. All the analytics, they're all based on this massive accumulation of data, right? Change the rules. It destroys the data. So again, now you got to come up with new data. It's going to take a while to compile that. Part of the reason the game has gotten so stale is we know too much. You never change the rules. Change the rules. The data will change. The whole thing will change. Now all of a sudden we have to recalibrate. But they don't do any of that. So you know what? Again, if you're just going to, if you're going to let the product rot, then kill it. Kill it now.
Alex in Somerville on the Patriots here on Agenda Free Friday. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Just a quick thing for Tony. Is this a bigger black eye for baseball than the steroid era?
So I think so. I mean, I do. Yeah, the steroid. I mean, listen, I thought the steroid thing was a joke when it happened too. And this is probably as, you know, disillusioned as I've been with people in baseball since then. I remember during the home run chase thinking, this is a joke. This is a joke. The game's not designed for you to hit 70 home runs. It's just not. That's not what it's supposed to be.
You said that in 97 when it was going on with McGuire and Sosa.
I did while I was watching it, but nothing pushed me to like break the story. So shame on me. I'm not telling you I'm some sort of, but I remember watching it going, it got stupid. I mean, so now look, now that you say it, in 98, did I think it was fun? Probably.
Whatever year that was. The first one with McGuire and Sosa that year, they were both chasing it.
98.
Yeah, like we weren't thinking steroids then.
No.
I mean, how dumb. How obtuse were we? But we weren't really.
Right. So at that time, I'm probably wrong to say that I might have been sucked in like everyone else.
By the time I got to Bonds.
Stupid.
Okay.
It was a joke.
Stupid.
It was a joke. You're watching Home Run Derby. It was softball. And I hated what it had become, just like I hate what it is now. Will they fix it? I don't know. Again, I don't have any faith that they will. Zero.
Cam and Taunton on the Celtics. Go ahead, Cam.
Mike, you hit on it. So there's an intangible missing with this team. I've said this for years. under Brad Stevens, what has this team accomplished that they haven't, that they shouldn't have? Nothing. I mean, how many times in these playoff series where if they didn't have home court, they would have lost? The Wizards, the Bucks, you know, last year against Milwaukee, probably would have gotten smoked. They didn't get smoked, excuse me. And again, so Monday night's a big one for me. Here comes LeBron and here comes Anthony Davis. Are you going to continue to let LeBron bend you over every time you play him? Are you going to keep letting him do that? And also, Anthony Davis spit in your face. The time was finally there for you to add him to this team and go for a championship. And he said, go to hell. Are you just going to take it from that guy? Go out there and win that game.
Here's another one. Monday night, Lakers in town. Another chance. Are you going to have a night? Yeah. Are you going to give us one night where you dig in and show yourselves and everybody what's possible? Are you gonna, because you haven't had one since the first week of the year.
I know that's the marquee one, but don't overlook Phoenix Saturday night with the way this team's been playing. And they're okay on the road, so I wouldn't be shocked if they lost tomorrow night at home.
Yeah, and DeAndre Ayton's back now too, right? I mean, maybe he's been back for a little while. Or, you know, I mean, he missed 25 games with the steroid thing.
I don't keep track of the Suns.
So,
no matter what, you lose the way you did at home with that complete no-show against the terrible Pistons the other night. Like, anything's on the table.
The whole pattern has been bum team the night before a big nationally televised game against a contender. And you've gone 0-4. You've lost to the bum and the team. You've lost to, well, the week before it was the Bullets and then Philly. This year, San Antonio and then Philly. You had lost to the Bullets the night before. This time it was the freaking Pistons and the Bucks. Now you've got the Suns and the Lakers. Okay, it's not back to back, but I think it's
Saturday, Monday.
Saturday, Monday.
Monday's a big one.
So back to back. Like, at least take care of the Suns, get that one in your back pocket, and then see what you can do against the Lakers and show something. But the pattern has been look ahead to the Lakers, take the Suns lightly, and kick that one away, and then get to the big one against the Lakers that really matters, and totally fold your tent. Like, that's how it's gone here for a couple weeks with this team.
I was just going to say, what if the Lakers come in here and blow them right through the heating ducts? Like, see you later, right onto Causeway Street.
They were down 27 points in the second quarter last night.
And Anthony Davis is going to say, you wanted me to play here?
Norman in Marshfield. Go ahead, Norman.
Yes, first-time caller. I get two questions on the Bruins.
Go.
And the first one being, why, when the opposite team gets into our end zone 5-on-5, it looks like a freaking power play for them for 6 or 7 minutes. And the second question is, when are they going to make Chara into a goaltender because his skating days are over?
Oh, come on, Norman. He's not that bad. I become a bigger fan of Zdeno Chara by the day.
I've just become a big fan of Norman. Call in any time, Norman.
But what you want to do with Chara is limit his time, and you hope that the other guys continue to get better, and they can assume most of the ice time, and Chara can just be a specialist, defensive zone specialist, etc. Limited minutes, all of that. 5-on-5, they could be better too, but I don't see what you see. I don't see them constantly getting penned into their own end. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. I think for the most part, more often than not, they control play. I do. So I don't see what you see, Norman. But that was a good phone call. Murray's update is right now. Then we come back with more of your wonderful phone calls here on Agenda Free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Agenda Free Friday continues. We're all sort of down on the Celtics. Zach and Fitchburg, do you disagree with that?
A little bit. I mean, the last week and a half has been pretty concerning, especially with the loss of the Pistons. I also don't fully agree with your take that they're not getting up for big games. They're 1-0 against Miami. They're 2-1 against Toronto. Two of those games were TNT ESPN games. They're 1-1 against Milwaukee. Both of those are primetime. 1-1 against Denver. One was primetime. They're 2-0 against Dallas, which is also primetime.
Denver and Dallas,
I
don't count.
Struggling a little bit. I don't think they're not getting up for big games. I think they look tired recently.
Okay, well, they definitely that. They're definitely lacking something recently. I don't consider Dallas and Denver. No. Lakers, Clippers. The only teams out west. But the teams you need to be establishing, and those are, like, and believe me, Monday's important because they need a big win against a good team. But the interconference games, meaning the
Western Conference games, yeah.
The Western Conference games, those are sort of window dressing, fun exhibitions, etc. They don't need to establish themselves against the Lakers. They need to establish something with the Sixers. They need to establish something with the Bucks. They need to establish themselves in the East. That's where you start. And they haven't done that. I'm sorry. They're 2-1 against Toronto. Were both wins without Siakam or just the one?
Well, there was one early in the year, I think.
No, he played in that one.
No. Right. That's what I'm saying. So I think there was only one without Siakam.
Have they beaten Toronto in Toronto with Siakam?
No.
No.
Okay. Well, then get back to me. Asterisk. It doesn't count. It doesn't count. You're 0-3.
Given their history, though, they never win there, no matter what, no matter who's not playing.
You're 0-3 against the Sixers. You're 0-3.
That's bad.
You go into Milwaukee last night. You're 1-2 in the conference, and you go down 27 points in the second quarter. You gave up 76 points in the first half.
Oh, but they only lost by 5.
Fake.
They lost that game by 20 points last night.
That was the entire game from the second quarter on was glorified garbage time. The Bucks stopped playing on defense.
And you can't say the Mavericks, like Luka's a great story and the kid's a legitimate stud, but that's a Western middler.
They're a good team, but it's not, you don't need to establish anything against the Dallas Mavericks. You don't need to establish anything against the Denver Nuggets.
Agreed.
You need to establish against these teams that we're talking about. They got Miami coming up week from Tuesday as well in Miami. I'll pay attention to that one.
Sure.
Well, they'll lose that game because Jalen and Tatum will be out partying the night before.
So there's another one. Can you keep your heads in South Beach? Yeah, I know your jersey's number 4 on the list, as Murray just mentioned. This is the worry that they've arrived brand-wise, and that's all they care about.
We'll see if they'll join us on Super Tuesday.
Does Jason Tatum play hard?
Mm.
Does he play hard?
I would say very short bursts.
Because, I mean, I'll just say it again.
He glides a lot.
Giannis plays hard. He plays hard. I think he's, again, overrated. I think he's still got a ways to go, et cetera, et cetera. But he plays hard. Does Jason Tatum play hard?
I mean, I would say no.
I don't see it.
He glides a lot.
I don't see it. Harry on the Cape. Go ahead, Harry.
Hey, Maz, help me out here. Listen, I go back to the Red Sox at a Dave Moorhead, no-hitter in 65. So now I become a season ticket holder. I go to the games in the 90s. I'm in the stands. I look out and I see the players on the field. And I kind of look in the stands, try to find a person that looks like a player because they look all different. Everyone on the field looks different. All steroids. Now they catch these guys, right? And now I'm looking at the film and I see George Springer and all these guys hitting home runs, they're double clutching like we're playing wiffle ball down at the park. What is going on? The players union, where are they? These guys, it's just like robbery.
So where are the players? Fine, I'll hit on that. I don't understand the first part of your call. But it also sucks, man. You add to your rant that the players won't police themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah, again, nobody's accountable. Nobody holds anybody anything anymore.
Because you're all costing each other money.
Correct.
I mean, when you cheat like that, you're costing that pitcher money. He's your union brother. Do you care? I mean,
no, add him to the list again. I'm not leaving anybody out of it.
So the fact, you know, it's one thing Jess Mendoza gets on Mike Fiers for going public. Well, how about just going to your union? Or how about going to your fellow players and saying, what are we doing to ourselves?
Correct.
Because we're all just hurting ourselves.
Yeah, again, and look, they did some of this in the steroid scandal, too, and they protected one another. So, like, I look at it and say, fine, if you're going to protect one another, then I'm going to lump you all together. If that's what you're going to do, if that's how you're going to approach it, you're going to treat us as the enemy on the outside because we want an honest, good product. No, we're not going to give you that. We're going to circle the wagons. Fine. I hope you kill the game. That's sort of what I've reached. I've come to the, because I've lost a lot of hope and faith in the people who play it, the people who oversee it, all of it. None of them want to be held accountable by anybody. Everything goes. The game's way too loose. Way too loose.
Matt in Providence. Hi.
Hey, I didn't know that. Matt, quick question. So I'm a Yankees fan. The year, the 2017 season when Houston won all 4 games at home, lost all 3 at Yankee Stadium, shortly after Girardi got fired, If he had made it to the World Series, do you think he still would have been the manager of the Yankees?
Yeah, I can't take your phone.
So honestly, I don't know.
And can you tell the people what he said first?
Yeah, he said that when the Yankees played the Astros in 2017, the home team won all seven games. Girardi was fired after that. If it had gone the other way, would he still be the manager?
Thank you.
I don't know. I mean, I can't play the what-if game. And if you want my honest opinion, I think the Astros were a better team than the Yankees that year, but the whole cheating thing taints it.
How do you know?
You don't know.
How do we know?
Again, but if you were to ask me, who would I pick? If the games were played honestly, I'd pick Houston.
And you know, I've heard this a lot, too, that, well, you can't really, you know, you shouldn't have any sympathy for Clayton Kershaw because he's a playoff choker. And, yeah, the Astros may have been stealing signs in Houston a couple of years ago, but Kershaw always chokes. Well, what if he was going to have one of his breakthrough games? Because he had pitched really well in the World Series at home. Games one or two, he was lights out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to Houston for those middle three games and gets his lips ripped off. He's like, oh, he's a choker. Well, what if he had actually found something?
Like David Price.
And what if that was going to be his breakthrough year? Right, exactly. And instead of the Astros knowing what he was throwing, they played it straight up and Kershaw got himself a win. And now that whole monkey's off his back and he's broken through, and the whole narrative changed on Clayton Kershaw.
Completely. And again, where I'm really frustrated is, you want to tell me, boy, you're never going to get rid of cheating. I agree. You're not. There's always going to be signs from second base or whatever. But what the problem now
is... Not when they put our lights in the mound.
Okay,
yes.
Fine. If there are ways to address that, I'm all for them. I mean, my bigger point is, nobody calls anybody on it.
Right, that is...
On any level.
Crazy.
On any level. The commissioner doesn't call the owners on it. Nobody calls anybody on it.
This Farquhar, this great video of the banging, and Farquhar, the pitcher on the White Sox.
Yeah, called the catcher to the mound.
Figures it out. You know, the Astros are blatantly ripping him off. If you want to just go to pure economics, they're blatantly taking money out of his pocket and affecting his livelihood by cheating right in his face. He didn't say a word.
Not a peep.
I mean, that is mind-numbing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and again, in the report that Manfred issued earlier in the week, the statement, when that happened, the Astros ran, disconnected the monitors, hit everything because they were afraid they were going to get busted. They knew that Farquhar caught on to him. He was on the mound, and they all ran, and they hid the stuff because they were afraid they were going to get busted.
And so then he doesn't say anything because what? He's loading the baseball, and everybody knows it. So if he calls him on the sign stealing, he gets called on loading the baseball. And so everyone's cheating in that sport and doing something. So we're not going to say anything. And now it's turned into who's cheating the best.
Or they look at him as being some sort of rat, which I think is even, you know, in some ways even worse. But it's like, what? So now you got to protect the cheaters? Like, it's asinine. Again, nobody in that sport wants to be held accountable anymore. None of them. So fine, kill your game. Kill it.
And a great example is Cora and Beltran. And what went on when Cora faced Beltran, when Beltran was a special assistant to the general manager with the Yankees. We'll get to that in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
A good weekend on the field. You know, that's a good offensive team. We know that. They're a lot better than last year. The attention to detail is phenomenal. I was joking with somebody that their biggest free agent acquisition is Carlos Beltran. You know, I know how it works, you know. He's helping a lot. You know, they're paying attention to details, and we have to clean our details. It was eye-opening the last 2 days from top to bottom. And I'm not saying, you know, devices and all that stuff. It's just stuff that the game will dictate and will scream at people. And he's right there. And throughout the evening, you know, I was looking, and I saw it, you know, and right now they're a lot better than us.
amazing. He's talking about cheating.
Devices.
He's talking about sign stealing. He's talking purely about sign stealing there. And he's saying, I'm not talking about devices, because he's not going to break the code either. But he actually mentions devices. That was the Yankees-Red Sox series in London. And again, that's just an excuse to get Murray to give me some questions from the panel there.
Cheers, Alex. Oliver Humbert from the Daily Mail. Alex, you sound rather miffed that the opposing manager nicked your hand signals. Could you please explain how that affected today's horribly boring game that we were just subjected to? Your thoughts?
So, there's something about Murray's British accent.
Oh, it's brilliant.
I don't know what it is.
I can give you this one, too.
That's the one I like right there.
Oi, Alex, Mickey Green from the Leeds Mercury. A game for you and the chaps went all to pot today. You feel that bloke Beltran nicked it from you, huh? Should he catch a beating with the clubs, your bobbies there? Yeah, your thoughts?
First time he did that was Mickey Green from the Green Street Hooligans.
Mickey Green, Green Street Hooligans, eh?
Ah,
you Yanks, I mean the other team.
He's talking about cheating, though. He's talking purely about Carlos Beltran having their signs and they're not having the attention to detail to change their signs, hide their signs, disguise their signs. I was sitting there. It was clear to me. I was watching it. He was talking about sign stealing. Not about who was better, who was playing better. He was talking about getting each other's signs. Isn't that something? Doesn't that ruin it? So that's what that was. That's what that weekend was. They had more of your signs than you had of theirs. Great. That's why I watch.
And again, they all just sit there like, ha-ha, that's funny. We'll get you next time. I mean, why even play the game? If it's just about stealing the signals and knowing what pitch is coming, why play the game? There's so many things about baseball that I absolutely loathe right now, that I hate. I can't even begin to start.
We continue with your thoughts on this and everything else on an Agenda Free Friday. Rob in Saugus. Go ahead, Rob.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Remember that show a couple of years back, It Takes a Thief, Robert Wagner? He was hired by the government to catch other thieves.
You know,
That's why the Red Sox hired Cora. They couldn't beat Houston 2 years in a row in the playoffs. They hired Cora. And in the process of the interview, he guaranteed them, we'll beat Houston. So that same year, Houston beats the Yankees. Girardi gets fired. The Yankees interview Beltran 6 to 8 hours. You'll call it an interview. I call it a questioning period. They wanted to find out things about Houston. So now both the Red Sox and the Yankees have to get by Houston to get to the World Series. They all have to beat each other. So all of a sudden that year, the Houston Astros have the two hardest coaching commodities in baseball. Beltran never even coached. So, right now, the Yankees interview him for 6 to 8 hours. That they don't sign him, they sign Boone, and the next year they hire him as a special advisor.
And then what happens? The team that's competing with the Yankees the most for market share says, okay, we'll take him. I think Rob's so right.
Oh, he's totally right. Again, I think that's exactly, at least in part, what the Cora thing was about. What's going on in their dugout over there? They're better than we are. Let's bring him in.
Became a cheating contest. And that ALCS, you versus Houston, it was right there in the open. If we knew what the hell was going on, they're taking pictures of you. You're accusing them. They're accusing you. It all started. They were all on to each other. Everyone knows what was going on. And it was a contest to see who could get each other's signs or protect from getting stolen signs or whatever. That's what that game was. That's what that series was. Little did you know that that's what it was about. Not actually the balls and strikes on the field and what, you know, the Benintendi catch and all of that. That was all just a backdrop to these teams trying to steal each other's signs.
And you get the Astros beating on the trash can there, like that whole thing, and they won't talk about it now. They won't answer any questions about it, the Astros, the players. It's like, you know, the whole thing is like, God, it's just hard to have any respect for anybody that either wears a uniform or cashes a check from MLB.
Tom in Worcester on the Celtics. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Felger, man, why are you so goofy, man?
Goofy how?
You be talking, man. Talking.
Okay, Tom, I'm going to let you go. A little spooky there, that call. Eric in Boston. Go ahead, Eric.
Hi, yes. I was just wondering, for Maz, what are the realistic expectations for the Red Sox this year? Now that they no longer have Cora as manager and they don't currently have one, should we look at this Red Sox season as a bridge team or as a wild card contender?
Okay, what are your, as he talks in and out of the phone.
So look, I'm never going to sit here when the Red Sox have a $200 million payroll, whether they're over or under the luxury tax, and tell you that they're a bridge team. I'm not going to do it.
They should contend this year.
So I would expect them to contend for the playoffs.
They should contend.
And then, you know, let's see what the rest of the league looks like and the landscape looks like. If you're asking me on paper right now, I'd pick the Yankees. Okay, they added Gerrit Cole, and I feel like the Yankees have a good team.
Give me your American League power rankings.
So I still think it's New York and Houston, but I think New York has passed Houston now.
Don't you think Houston takes a
massive hit?
Yeah, I mean, how do they respond to this? How's their mojo?
Yeah, I mean, look,
how's their confidence?
Right, and you know, obviously they lose Cole, he goes to New York, and they lose the manager.
And they lose the signs.
Right, there's a bit of upheaval there. So, like, you know,
But never mind, now they have to play straight up.
I just don't know how many other good teams there are in the league. There's still a lot of talent on that team. They have good players, right, which makes the whole cheating thing all that much worse. It's like, again, you sort of come back to that whole argument that we had with the Patriots. How much did you really need to do it? You were the best team anyway. You really were. You had good pitching. It's not like you had bad pitching. So what did you do it for? You know, just to be an a-hole? Congrats, you succeeded. So
who's the best team in the Central? Is it still Cleveland?
Minnesota will be good again.
And I think the White Sox might actually be okay.
Yeah, I have a, you know.
What did they add?
I feel like the White Sox, they added pitching. Who did they get? They got a lefty instead of, did they get Keuchel?
Yeah.
So I think they got Keuchel. They've improved, but I still have a hard time taking them seriously.
You're still a top five team at worst in the American League.
Agreed.
Roster-wise. I don't know how you're going to play, but your roster is top three, top five in the American League.
Yeah, and everyone will, you know, throw Oakland in there again, but they're still one of the top, you know.
You have a better roster.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And if their pitching's healthy, there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to contend for the league championship.
That's a big if.
It is. It is.
Yeah, because they don't have their sign-stealing system anymore, so those numbers are going to go down.
I say the same thing about them I just said about Houston. How's their mojo? How's the confidence of those hitters when they're not getting the signs like they've been getting?
Good question.
Okay, so I think that's all fair to ask. That's what this brings up, is what are you really handicapping? The talent on the field or what they knew when they were at bat? We continue with your thoughts. It's an agenda-free Friday here on Felger and Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.